All right, today I'm speaking with the one and only Maya Breuer. Ms. Breuer has been very influential in my life and the lives of many other yogis throughout the world. Maya has been practicing yoga for 28 years, approximately, and been teaching for about 25. She has blazed the trail for many women and yogis of color and yogis in general. I'm so honored that you've taken the time to share your story with us today. How are you doing this morning, Maya?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing really well.
Good.
It's a gorgeous day here, and I'm in New England.
Okay.
And so I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Well, I really wanted to begin by kind of setting the stage for our listeners and asking you, what is yoga? What does yoga mean to you?
Okay. Well, you know, what yoga to me really means what its true definition is, which is union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yoga is everything that I've studied, and that is union of body, mind, and spirit, and a way for an individual to live an authentic life.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I have gotten from yoga.
Okay.
You know, I think one of the challenges as a younger person, I felt there's so many questions and there's so many things I didn't understand, and there was really no rule book or guidebook on, you know, how do you take care of your body, mind, and spirit. So when I found yoga, I thought, this is it. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is exactly what I've been longing for. Some instruction in breathing, some instruction in moving my body, some instruction in, you know, where are my thoughts at? You know, it was sort of an all-inclusive practice for me. So yoga is union. It really brought me to me.
Okay, beautiful. So, I mean, well, your story certainly speaks volumes for what yoga means to you. So how did you really even begin practicing yoga? How were you introduced to the practice?
I was having a challenging time. Well, I have to go back maybe even 40 years ago. I went to a yoga class when my children were very little. Maybe it was 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to this Unitarian church and being in a posture and having this amazing feeling that, wow, I know what this is and I understand this and I'm going to continue to do this. And then I didn't go back for 20 years.
Wow.
You know, because I was raising kids and I was busy and it just wasn't anything that anyone in my world did.
Mm-hmm.
So I let go of it. Then come the 80s, and my kids are pretty grown, are in college, and I was having difficulty in my personal life with my family, siblings. One was very ill, and another was having a serious drug issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself was just having all kinds of challenges at work with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I was a wreck.
Right.
And someone said, go to this retreat center for a weekend, and I just went. And I got in my car, and I drove there. I had the money. I spent a weekend doing yoga, and I have been doing it every day since.
Oh, beautiful.
And it turned my life around. You know, through the first couple of years of my practice, I really struggled with deciding, did I have a drinking problem?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was a highly functioning person with great jobs and good positions, you know, raising
mm-hmm.
my three children.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to really look at myself. And so I was able to incorporate yoga into my life, to become a sober woman,
mm-hmm.
and to really just live my life the way I've wanted to live it.
Mm. Beautiful.
And have great health. You know,
right.
I had my health was sort of, you know, was challenging. I wasn't feeling that great. And I got my health in, as we say, I went to India and they used to say, you want radiant health. I got radiant health through this practice.
Right. So really about the overall health and wellness really kind of introduced you. And that's beautiful. I wanted to kind of maybe move into talking about communities who, you know, really are in need of wellness and health. I know that I'm certainly in need of that each day. And while I was preparing for this interview, I stumbled upon an interview that you did a while back with NPR regarding the scarcity of yoga within communities of color. And I wanted to know if you could talk with us a little bit about your views on yoga and the barriers that may exist in the United States, specifically for people of color.
Oh, yes, I certainly will. First, let me say that I did do that interview with NPR several years ago, and last year I spoke in New York at the Yoga Journal Conference using the same topic.
Okay.
You know, so it's been, I think it was 3 years ago I was on NPR, and I'm still, every opportunity, speaking about the scarcity of people of color in the world of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
What really, first, what troubles me about that is that yoga is a panacea for just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can help you with the major things that trouble people of color, and particularly African Americans: diabetes, obesity,
mm-hmm.
hypertension, mm-hmm. stroke, heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a yoga practice can help abate or manage those things beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like our people are not getting what we need.
Right.
And dealing with racism, which is, in some areas it's subtle, in some areas it's overt, we still deal with it as a people.
Right, absolutely.
And that is a major stressor. And I think mindfulness practices, meditation, self-awareness just can build the people up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we need to be built up because we're still way behind the eight ball, particularly with our health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've made great strides in terms of infiltrating every arena of the world, but our health continues to suffer.
Right.
And you know, I think some of the barriers, one of the major barriers, which I wrote about years ago, was the fact that we don't see ourselves doing yoga.
Right.
You know, we are now, you know, we're major consumers. We spend a lot of money on trips and, you know, it's not that that's a major problem for people of color, but we don't necessarily see people that, like us, in the magazines or in features.
Right.
You know, so I think that's one of the drawbacks. And another thing is, many black people or people of color practice Christianity, and there's always been
mm-hmm.
a question about, is yoga a religion? Does it conflict with Christianity?
Right.
And it absolutely does not.
Right.
You know, and even some Christians have a Christian yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is also a problem and a challenge that's slowly being chipped away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was definitely a barrier. And, you know, but I think the major barrier is not seeing ourselves as people who can do yoga.
Right.
And also not having it, if you don't have a family member or someone who brings it into your family, you know, you're likely not to try it.
Right.
You need to be familiar with. And, you know, so it's just, I think, if you want me to list them, I think it's not seeing ourselves. We're not in the media
mm-hmm.
generally. And if we do see someone, it's someone who's outrageously wealthy and rich, so the average person doesn't compare themselves
right.
to that.
Right.
You know, you don't see the average Joe or average Jane in a yoga commercial.
Right.
You know, you might see Tyra Banks or you might see someone else, but the people still don't recognize themselves often in that figure.
Right.
So, you know, I guess the challenge is religion, the challenge is that we don't see ourselves, and the challenge is there's no familiarity with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we started having a little bit of conversation about yoga in our churches, that would make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are barriers. Another barrier is the conglomerate of yoga is really a non-minority conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
So that when things are planned, for example, when I speak at a big conference or I present at a conference, there are very few teachers of color presenting.
Right. I've noticed that.
And the topics that are presented aren't necessarily the topics that would address us.
Right.
Or would attract us.
Right.
So, you know, so then you don't see, you go to a yoga journal conference and there's a 1,000 or 2,000 people and 10 black people walking around.
Right.
Maybe. I was in New York, so maybe there were 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in other parts of the country, in Florida and other, in different places, and there are 4 or 5 minority people with 2 presenters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, it has to change not only our consciousness, but the consciousness within the yoga community has to look at how can we be more inclusive in
practice. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's not, you know, many of the yoga teachers will say, well, I do good works. Well, everybody's jumping up and doing a karma yoga thing,
mm-hmm.
because it makes money for the teacher and it promotes whatever the business is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are many great famous yogis who go to Africa and teach yoga.
Right.
And you know, we're doing all these sort of exotic things. But what we need is simply more inclusion so that teachers of color can teach in their communities.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
I'm passionate about that.
Yes, and that was one of the reasons why I reached out to do this interview, because I have been aware of that, and that's what we're looking to do, you know, with Chelsea Loves Yoga, with the blog, to really begin to kind of shift the paradigm where we see more people from diverse backgrounds practicing yoga. So that kind of leads us into our next topic about your workshops and retreats that you conduct specifically for women of color who practice yoga. So can you talk a little bit about these conferences and maybe why you felt there was a need for a yoga retreat specifically for women of color?
Yes. Well, the first retreat I started was back in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I started the retreat is I had an epiphany. I had been teaching for several years. I had traveled to India. I had, you know, I was really involved in the yoga world.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I went, there was no one who looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1 or 2 people. And I was teaching 10 or 12 classes back then in my hometown, and I couldn't get people of color to come to yoga.
Right.
You know, I just simply couldn't. So it dawned on me, if I'm going to make a difference in this world, perhaps I should work with what I'm most familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a woman. And I know what it's done for my life on every level. So perhaps if I bring women of color together,
mm-hmm.
that's a way for me to infuse the minority world with yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, many things start with women in the family.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right,
I was thinking, if I get women to become on fire with yoga,
mm-hmm.
and have an interest in training and have an interest in teaching it to their children, but even before that, if women of color learn to take care of themselves, everything about our lives is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And our family. So I started offering offering it at Kripalu Center,
okay.
in Lenox, Mass. And I've had 2 or 3 a year since 99. And, you know, women come from all over the country and
mm-hmm.
also out of the country, because there's no real program for women of color other than this one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of, like, empowerment programs.
Right.
It's stronger or better or smarter or do your work better or manage your time better. And this is not that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity for women to come together to be, you know, to come together to breathe, to
mm-hmm.
come together. You know, it's an invitation for women to be who they are and where they are in the moment.
Yes.
You know, to relax, to
mm-hmm.
take better care of themselves, no matter what is happening,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, you know, typically women of color struggle with, like, the job, school, family,
mm-hmm.
stress, and then we have our jobs in schools and banks, nonprofits, and boardrooms, you know, but self keeps getting pushed further and further
right.
and further
right.
down
right.
until you know, we're just these machines that get the job done.
And that's been historically, right? Especially here in the context of the United States. Like,
that's right. We've been doing this forever.
Right.
You know, now we're just more savvy at doing it. We can do more in a day. You know what I mean?
And more savvy. More savvy about psyching ourselves out, that we don't need to take a moment to heal ourselves and to kind of rejuvenate. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Well, you know, when I started, like, I had no idea it was going to be what it's become. You know, I just thought, okay, I'll do a few of these.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is really amazing. I am speaking with women from all over the United States and different parts of the globe who are very interested in, like, going within and finding a way to live their lives and be who they really are meant to be. So it's been a wonderful journey for me, and I can say that, you know, the retreats continue to grow and change and meet society where it is every year.
Wonderful. Well, I just really want to reiterate that your contribution to the image of yoga has influenced me tremendously. Seeing yogis like you, Faith Hunter, Octavia Rahim, Elika Air, I'm speaking the names of these women, Cynthia Harris, Vanya Francis, I could go on. So seeing women of color and men as well of color that add to this vast ocean of this diversity is amazing, and it inspires me to continue this blog, to continue to interview people. So I just want to know, what do we need to do as these up and coming yogis in the community? How do we keep this momentum going? How do we continue to add to the diversity of the face of yoga and the image of yoga?
I one of the things, a friend of mine, Jonna Long, and I, a couple of years ago, were thinking, how can we really keep this going, this, you know, and reach out to more people? So we've started an organization called the Black Yoga Teachers Alliance. And so I recommend that everybody who is a professional yoga teacher and those who are trying to become teachers connect to the Black Yoga Teachers Alliance.
Okay.
And we are just getting it going, but it is going to be an organization that provides professional training, provides support to teachers, and holds annual conferences and get-togethers so we can support one another to stay teaching yoga.
Right.
Well, so, you know, that I'd recommend that. And the other thing is connect with people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember one of the most difficult things for me was being feeling so alone for many, many years.
Absolutely.
Until I connected with some Black yoga teachers out in California. And it was just, you know, I remember crying when I got to California and saw them. And that was the International Association of Black Yoga Teachers.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm really not alone. And it gave me a lot of encouragement. And, you know, just staying in touch with each other, continuing your studies, continuing to train, you know, all of those things, the practice of yoga and the study of yoga will continue to support you as a yogi.
Absolutely.
You know, so don't move too far away from whatever your lineage is and whatever your practice is. That's going to sustain you.
Okay.
And will, you know, keep you teaching.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Maya. It has been a pleasure and honor, a very enlightening experience to speak with you today. And I look forward to attending your next conference. You will be here in Georgia, right, for the women's?
Yes, I won't be back until September 14th to the 16th.
Okay.
But I'm also going to be in Detroit, Michigan, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we will certainly.
I'll send you some information.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can post it.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Breuer, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. All right, Chelsea, and you take good care.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.